glad that you are here today. If you are new to Vertical Church, whether you're online, in Hiawassee, here, my name is Philip, and I'm the pastor here at Vertical Church. On behalf of Vertical, welcome. We're so glad that you are here. We believe God is already moving, and he's going to continue to. And we've got the faith that he's actually capable of speaking directly into your life today. That's what we're praying for. That's what we're asking for. Because, man, what's the point of church if God doesn't move? I mean, you may have shown up today and you're not even sure about this Jesus thing, but you are curious. You're kind of seeking, is this thing real? And I've got the faith. Our church believes Jesus can speak right into your life today. And so we just ask, be open to it. Be open. If God, if you're real, speak to me today. I don't think that's a bad prayer. That's not something wrong to ask. Let's ask that and then believe for it today. And so the title of the message today, I know some people like that. They like a title. They're like, if you don't give me a title, I'm leaving this church. And so, you know, don't misbehave and then tell me that, or we may, you know, go without a title. Title of the message today is Preparing for the Charge. Preparing for the Charge. And we're in a series titled Take the Hill. Take the Hill. And it's based out of something Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5. And he says, you are the light of the world. And it's this idea that Jesus teaches that you and I have a personal responsibility for how we live our life in the world today. And so some of you may have looked around this world and you're discouraged. You're concerned, you're confused, you look around at some people's choices and you're like, that doesn't seem to be the right thing. And it can create anger, confusion, apathy in our heart. We see where the world is going, but Jesus says, you are the light of the world. And there's this personal responsibility we have. And so if you're newer, you don't know this about me, some of you have been here a while, you do, and you kind of sigh when I bring it up, but I love history. I love history. I'm like one of five people that still watches the History Channel. Very much lay out. Okay, we got three people who are with me. Praise God. Saw three people take out their notebook. I'm going to take notes now. He's talking about history. Okay. I know Hiawassee. Y'all with me. The Battle of Iwo Jima took place in World War II. The Battle of Iwo Jima took place in World War II, and it brought to us one of the most, arguably, the most iconic photo in all of American military history. You may have seen this. It's where soldiers are trying to raise the flag and plant the flag on a hill. It's one of the most iconic photos out there. But it took place after the Battle of Iwo Jima, which in World War II was the most costly battle for the Americans. It was the one battle in all of World War II that the Americans lost more soldiers than the Japanese. It was heavily costly. And there was a moment where they were dedicating a cemetery to the soldiers who lost their lives in the battle, and it was Major General Graves Erskine, and he gave this quote at the ceremony. After losing thousands and thousands of soldiers, he said, "Victory was never in doubt. Its cost was." Victory was never in doubt. Its cost was. And as I read that quote, I couldn't help but think about how that defines following Jesus. I couldn't think about how that defines following Jesus. If you are a Christ follower, victory should never be in doubt. But the cost is. And you may have shown up today and you're seeking, is Jesus real? Maybe that's the reason you signed up to be a Christian. I think Jesus can solve my problems. And we come seeking because life's hard. Anybody discovered this? Life is hard, it's difficult, it's full of trials, full of sorrows. You know, if you're a middle schooler and your girlfriend just broke up with you, you're like, no, the pain is real. It's deep. We were together for 2 days. I'm heartbroken. And there's trials and sorrows we go through. And then when Jesus, we go to follow him and we still have trials, we still have sorrows, we're like, well, this isn't real. But I want us to look at the Bible. What does the Bible actually teach us? Because if you're new to Vertical, I believe the Bible is real. It applies to our life. I believe we should read it Genesis to Revelation. So I'm going to talk to you out of the Bible. I believe it applies to our life deeply. That's where we're going today. John 16. John 16. It's this guy named Jesus teaching. He claims some big things like being the Son of God, to die for our sins, to give us an opportunity to come into a relationship with him. That's why we like the teachings of Jesus. He's a huge deal in the story of what God is doing to bring God's creation back into relationship with him despite our sin. John 16, verse 33 says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Somebody needs to underline that. So that you may have peace in me. You may be struggling with peace. But Jesus says, listen, I'm offering peace. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart because I've overcome the world. We need to underline or highlight that verse. That is a great verse. And some of y'all are going to be stunned. It's your first time. This is not surprising. If you've been here a while, this is surprising. We've got 3 points today. Wow, I mean, some people are so stunned, like there was an audible gasp from somebody out there. 3 points today. The first point, following Jesus does not mean our problems go away in this world. Following Jesus does not mean our problems go away in this world. If you are seeking as Jesus, is he going to come solve all my problems? Is he going to make my life a lot easier? I want to be point blank. I used to work in sales before I became a pastor. I don't want to sell you a product that's not real. Following Jesus will not make all your problems go away. Following Jesus will not make all your problems to go away. I don't want you to sign up for something that doesn't exist, that's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus, point blank, looks at the people who follow him and he says, in this world, you're going to have many. I don't know about you. I don't like that. That sounds large and undefined. Have you discovered that in your life? You may have discovered many is real. It was more than one. It was plentiful. Many trials and sorrows. But he says, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Following Jesus does not mean our problems go away in this world. And you may be sitting there and you're like, I can relate to that. I've been trying to follow Jesus, and this is honestly the hardest moment in my entire life. My problems have not gone away. But I started thinking about these verses, praying through them. And I started thinking about how many times the sorrows we have or the trials we have, they affect us so deeply that they start to feel like barriers we have to get over. Have you ever felt that way before? Maybe it's a problem with a job. Maybe it's a health problem. Maybe it's grief. Maybe it's a financial problem, and it feels like it's a barrier that we're trying to just climb to get over. But Jesus says something interesting. He says, you're going to have those barriers. You're going to have those barriers. You're going to have trials. You're going to have sorrows. But take heart, I've overcome the world. What he's trying to teach here is you can't know me unless you know what I've overcome. You can't know me unless you know what I've overcome. Jesus is teaching having sorrows and trials is not a bad thing because you will never really understand my character. We'll never have depth to our relationship if you don't face these sorrows and trials. Because when you go through them, you start to understand who Jesus is. If your life was completely easy, it was so great, you never had any issues, you would never understand Jesus very well. If you don't believe me, go read the Old Testament. If you're in the Bible reading plan with me right now, we're going through that, trying to read through the Bible. If you're still with me, it means you got through Leviticus. Praise God, okay? Some of y'all still back there. We had to leave a few good people behind. But one of the things that talks about the Israelites at some point had it so good that, man, they didn't need God anymore. And their hearts drifted from worshiping the Lord. The reality is our human character, because of our sinful nature, when life goes really well, our temptation is, do I really need to worship God? Things are going pretty good. And then all of a sudden, with the human nature, as soon as things get hard, we start going, you know, that Jesus guy sounds pretty good. Jesus says, take heart, I've overcome the world. The trials and the sorrows that you face, you're going to face many of them. I've overcome the world. And we look at those things as barriers now. But what if we're not supposed to look at trials and sorrows as barriers? Not a hill that we have to get over, but a hill to go be a light on. What if you looked at trials and sorrows as a hill to be a light on? What I mean is sometimes when you are going through a trial, sometimes when you have a deep sorrow, people are watching you. People are watching you. How do you respond in this moment? Are you still going to follow that Jesus guy you claim to? Or is he the first thing that gets thrown overboard? You know, back when ships were kind of going around, if they started taking on water, if things started getting bad, Lily, what they would do is they would throw over the things that had weight but not value. And some of us treat Jesus like that. As soon as things get hard, Jesus was a commodity to have, but he was a weight that didn't have value to us, and we throw him overboard. When we have trials and sorrows, it reveals, what do we really value? What do we really value? And Jesus says, take heart, I've overcome the world. But sometimes when we face those sorrows or trials, what we do is we go, man, I got to get rid of Jesus. He didn't solve these problems. These things didn't go away. I'm having hard moments in life. What if those are the moments where we're truly a light on a hill? What if those are the moments where people see Jesus so clearly in us that they begin to praise God? And so Jesus says, you're not going to be exempt from trials and sorrows. You're going to be exempt from hard things. Because in those moments, those are moments you can be a light on a hill. Those are the moments where people finally see you in me. And you may be facing a very hard medical issue. You may be facing grief like you've never faced before. You may be facing a financial problem like you've never had before. This is your moment. This is your moment, not for it to be a barrier, but to be a light on a hill. And as humans, we tend to not view it the way Jesus teaches, because it's real. Like, I'm not going to teach this and diminish what you're going through. I'm just not. I'm not. You are going through some of the hardest, or maybe the hardest thing you've ever gone through. I'm not here to diminish that at all. I'm here to empathize with it. But Jesus teaches, in this moment, this is your time to be a light on a hill. Because when we were talking about Iwo Jima, when people would charge a defensive position up on a hill, it was always going to cost. When you're defending up on a hill, that is the best defensive position for you to be in. And that's why anyone who's going to charge uphill has to weigh the cost. Like the general said, victory was never in doubt. We knew we would take the island. We just didn't know how much it would cost us. Following Jesus and taking the hills the same way. Victory is never in doubt when you're following Jesus. It may feel like it sometimes, but the cost is. And sometimes that doesn't get talked about enough when we go to follow Jesus, is what it's going to cost you. And some of you are experiencing that right now. The cost to continually follow Jesus in spite of the hardest thing you've ever been through. But that is the moment where people see what we value. Is following Jesus real to us in light of the hardest trials? Is counting on Jesus real in light of the deepest sorrows? We sing that song, and I know I talk about this, but and I don't want to be a church where we just recite lyrics. Like, whatever it takes, like whatever it costs, I'm in for one thing, and it's Jesus. Like, do you mean that? Because it's easy to sing when life's good, right? But then you get some terrible news from a doctor. Like, can you still mean it? When you're wrestling with anxiety, can you still mean it? When you're struggling with depression, can you still mean it? I mean, honestly, this week I've been wrestling with anxiety. Like I have, it kind of comes and goes in waves for me, you know. And I think about these lyrics, and I was telling my wife, Kayla, and I'm like, sometimes I'm embarrassed to struggle with the anxiety. Like I get up, I'm a pastor, I talk about these things, but to still wrestle with them, like it's frustrating for me. You know, but I think about lyrics like that, in spite of my anxiety, like, geez, like whatever it takes, like whatever it costs, I live for you. Like, because this isn't going to last forever. Like, your trial, your sorrow does not last forever. The Bible says in the end, we get eternity with Jesus. So it ends in victory. So it's either we view things as a barrier that we've got to get over, or we go, I'm going to believe that Jesus has overcome what I'm facing, and I can be a light on the hill in this moment. This is not the hardest thing I'm facing. It can actually be the clearest moment people see Jesus in me. And what has to flip in humans is, do we genuinely mean it to lay our life down? Because that's what it costs sometimes, is the hardest moments in your life. Inability in the hardest moments in your life to say, whatever it costs, Jesus, I lay my life down. I lay my life down. Whatever the outcome on this side of eternity, I lay my life down. I pray people see you in me, Jesus. If this is my one shot for the world to see you, Jesus, I want it to be clear. Jesus is worth everything. One of the phrases we use around our church is, leave no doubt. Leave no doubt. When people look at your life, is there any doubt that you think Jesus is worth everything? Because that's the standard that Jesus calls us to. He says, I've overcome the world. The trials, sorrows, the deepest things you face, I've overcome them if you will take heart in me. I don't know if you discovered this world tries its hardest to separate us from Jesus. My front row over here said, you don't say. But sometimes we don't step back and realize that. Like if you go read the Bible, you see God is trying to bring his creation back into relationship with him. But it feels like all the other forces at work are trying to take us away from him. Like those financial problems, those health problems, those sorrows, those griefs, things, they try to pull us away from God. But God sent Jesus to come down and say, I don't even want your sin, your sorrows, your trials to separate you from me. I want to bring you back into relationship. And these tensions exist. So do we view trials and sorrows as barriers that we've got to barely try to get over? Or do we view them as, this is my moment for people to see Jesus? This is my moment for people to see Jesus. Because I don't know if you know this, if you go read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there were some people who said, I'm willing to sign up to follow Jesus. And then Jesus would teach them what it's going to cost them. And they said, hard pass. Hard pass. Like, I don't even have to think about it anymore. I'm out. You don't believe me? Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Verse 18 says, when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he instructed his disciples to cross to the other side of the lake. Then one of the teachers of religious law said to him, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. But Jesus replied, foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head. Another of his disciples said, Lord, first let me return home and bury my father. But Jesus told him, follow me now. Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Man, these verses sometimes don't get preached aloud a lot because Jesus seems really unempathetic. Jesus seems kind of harsh, right? That's not the Jesus we want people to see, so we'll maybe just skip those verses. But Jesus wouldn't teach something if it wasn't important. And the reality of what Jesus is trying to teach here in this moment is the religious person says, I will follow you, Jesus. And Jesus says, well, let me explain something. If you come follow me, it's not comfortable. It's not comfortable. It's going to cost you. Somebody else says, Jesus, I'm going to come follow you. And Jesus says, really, if you come follow me, you're going to have deep sorrows. You're going to have deep sorrows that you face as a human being if you come follow me. Jesus teaches both those things. And what he's trying to say is pain can still exist even if there's peace. Pain can still exist even if there is peace. And sometimes if we have pain, we think there's no peace. But they can both coexist. What he's also trying to teach is, despite a lack of comfort, despite maybe some of the sorrows we face, Jesus says there's always going to be an excuse to stop. Jesus says there's always going to be an excuse to stop. You may have followed Jesus for 5 minutes or 50 years. Let me tell you something. Until you go home to be with Jesus, you will always have an excuse to stop following Jesus. Some kind of trial, some kind of sorrow, some kind of hardship. This world will give you an opportunity to say, that's enough, I quit. That's enough, I quit. And Jesus says, if you really want to come follow me, you're going to have to deal with the fact that it's not going to be comfortable and it's going to cost you. If you want to come follow me, you're going to have to face the fact that there's going to be immense sorrow in following me at points. Will you still come do it? Jesus told them point blank right at the bat. And this is the moment where it'd be easy for them to sign up. This would be the easy moment to sign up. Jesus, they come to Jesus and say, I'll follow you. Jesus could have easily just said, jump on. Come on, that sounds great. Jesus told them at the very beginning what it would look like. I feel like the American church, we're kind of guilty of that sometimes, right? We're like a timeshare salesman. We got a lot of good things to say up front. There may be some things we're leaving out as well. I don't want it to be like that. Because I'll tell you point blank, I'd rather have 50 people who'd follow Jesus at any cost than 5,000 people who like what I say. I think those 50 people who will follow Jesus at any cost will change the world, where 5,000 people who don't want to follow Jesus at any cost are actually a hindrance. And that's why Jesus would tell people point blank at the beginning what it's going to look like. He says, it's easier for you to quit now than later on. And some of you are facing the real reasons why to stop following Jesus right now. It's real. You're exhausted mentally, physically, emotionally, financially, whatever it is. You are exhausted. And this is the moment where the enemy comes to you and says, now, give up. Give up. But if we rely on the word of God, it says, take heart. We've overcome the world. Our response to the enemy says, quit. Give up. No. Whatever it takes, whatever it costs, I'll live for one thing, and it's Jesus. Our time to have resolve as Christ followers is now. Right now. And right now, he is trying to get people to quit, but there has got to become a resolve. And that comes when we study Scripture. And Jesus says, I've overcome the world, but you won't really know me until you face the things I've overcome. And he teaches point blank, people, if you want to come follow me, it's going to cost. And the American church for a long time has told people salvation is offered freely. Salvation is offered freely. You probably have heard this. You were probably told that salvation is free, and it is. Jesus paid the price, and you won't ever have to pay for salvation. But what we don't tell people is salvation is free, but following Jesus costs everything. Following Jesus costs everything. Salvation is free. You may be wondering, does Jesus want me in spite of all my sins? And the answer is yes. Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, knowing what that price was. You have not sinned so much that Jesus cannot save you. But if you're going to come follow Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, it will cost you everything. Hebrews 11. These are verses I love. I tell people some of my favorite chapters in the Bible is Hebrews 11. It's nicknamed the Hall of Faith. If you didn't get that, it's like the Hall of Fame. But it talks about some of the greatest people of faith in Hebrews 11. Verse 32 says, and what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weaknesses was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead and raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they may gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning, and they were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. This is one of my favorite lines. And the world was not worthy of them. And the world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Another point is following Jesus, we'll have some see great miracles and some see great trials. Following Jesus, we'll have some see great miracles and some see great trials, but it's all for the glory of God. Man, the reality is some of us want to sign up for winning battles, administering justice, seeing people raised from the dead. Like, we want to sign up for that kind of stuff, right? I want to see miracles. I want to see God win battles. I want to see him overcome. Like, that's what I'm signing up for. But in the same paragraph, it says the people who were treated equal to that also were tortured, persecuted, jeered at. Wander around in goatskin, which I cannot imagine is comfortable. We're like, I don't want to sign up for that. I mean, if that's what it costs, I'm out. I can tell you right now, I don't think I would look very good in a goatskin outfit. I don't know if that's very flattering. But it says the world was not worthy of them. If you want to take the hill, the cost will always be you lay your life down. Regardless of what you're facing, you say, Jesus, work in and through me. Jesus, work in and through me. What's happening right now to a lot of people who say they follow Jesus is, in America, if things don't go our way, we're out. We'll lay our life down as long as we get what we want. And I'm here to tell you, American church, that's not Christ-like, that's arrogance. Because I'll follow Jesus as long as I get what I want. Is Jesus really Lord in that scenario, or are you? Because right now in the Hall of Fame of faith, it was administer justice, win battles, see miracles happen. But equally, even if I was imprisoned, even if I was tortured, I'd follow Jesus. Do you know that 10 of the 11 disciples who followed through on following Jesus, 10 of the 11 died. They were all killed for the faith. 10 of the 11 didn't live an old life. They didn't get to live many years. 10 of the 11 were flat out killed for the faith. And the other guy, they tried to kill him, and they just couldn't. They threw him in a pot of boiling oil, and he didn't die. And so they finally just said, well, forget this guy. We'll just throw him on an island in exile. And they just left him out there. His name was John. 11 of the 12, the only one who didn't make it was Judas. You probably know his story. But the other 11 all had a moment where they said, all you have to do is give up on claiming Jesus is who he says he is. All you have to do is walk away. Don't claim Jesus as your Lord. Stop preaching that stuff, and we'll let you walk free. And all 11 of them had a moment where they looked back at their captors and they said, it's not an option. Even if you kill me, my last moments will be a light on a hill. My last moments will be telling this world that Jesus is worth everything. That's the kind of resolve that we need to have nowadays. We're not even persecuted. Yeah, we're going through some hard things. Some of you are going through incredibly hard things, but I'm here to tell you this is your moment. This is your moment to say, you know what? Even if I don't have much time left, people will see Jesus in and through my life. People will see Jesus in and through my life. When we get that kind of resolve back, it doesn't matter how dark the world gets, because there will be people up on a hill, a light to this world. That's what we need right now. And I believe in God's sovereign power. I believe humans can't outdo the will of God. And I believe God strategically created you for this moment in history. Sometimes we think God doesn't want us. Why? God created you for this moment in history. God is beckoning you back into relationship with him as the creator. And saying, if you'll lay your life down, I can work in and through it to make an impact in this world today. But the reality is, do we want to follow Jesus like the religious person? Like, Jesus, I'll follow you. And he says, yeah, well, it's going to be uncomfortable. I don't even have a place to lay my head. Other people are like, yeah, I'll follow you, Jesus. And then we have great sorrows and we step away. this world will always give you an excuse to quit. Always give you an excuse to quit. Do we have the resolve to say, whatever time I have left, my answer is I will be a light on the hill. Whatever it costs. Whatever it takes. Because I'm telling you, I believe the word of God. And I believe it does not matter how dark the world gets. That if we get people who are willing to lay their life down for Jesus Christ and they say, Lord, work in and through me. It doesn't matter how dark it gets because light on a hill will always be clear to people. Your life is significant. It was made by the creator of the universe. And he says, you go be the light on the hill. That's the value I see in each and every last one of you. When I'm in Hiawassee, when I'm online, talking to people or with you, that's what I see. I see a human being created in the image of God that is capable of bearing light to a dark world. Your life is significant because it was made in the image of God. You have an opportunity to impact the world around you, to be light to darkness. But every last one of us has an excuse to quit at some point. So I wonder, like, can churches get back to being the place of encouragement? Can we get back to being a place where if you follow Jesus or you're struggling, this is the place where you're encouraged? Because it's not easy. It's not easy. We just read that if you're going to follow Jesus and it's at all cost, it's a heavy price. Can churches get back to being a place where this is where you come and there's people who spur you on? They encourage you. They pray for you. They say, I know it's tough out there. I know for you to take the hill, I know it cost you a lot. And they look back, I know for you to take the hill, it cost you a lot. And they spur you on. That's what it should be. This should be a place that's heavily encouraging. But Matthew 5 says, you go be the light of the world. I'll close out with this, Matthew 5:14. This is what everything's been based off. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Did you see that? You're the light of the world. It doesn't matter how dark this world gets, you cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on the stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. The life you live communicates value. The life you live communicates value. Do you think Jesus is worth your life? Do you think Jesus is worth your life? Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus got up on a hill and let humanity, sinful humanity, nail him to a cross for the glory of God. That was for you and me to come into relationship with Jesus. That's what Jesus was willing to do. Anything less than us laying our life down for Jesus is insulting to him. Are you willing to lay your life down? Because I'm here to tell you, I honestly don't think it gets easier from here on out to follow Jesus. I don't. I don't think it's about to get easier to follow Jesus. What I ask is that, do you have that kind of resolve? Whatever it takes, whatever costs, I'll follow Jesus. Even if it's great trials, even if it's great sorrows, I will follow Jesus. And you may have come in, whether you're in Hiawassee or online or right now, and you know the enemy has been telling you, quit, give up. And our time right now is, no, I'll take the hill. Even if today is my last day, you'll find me up on the hill. Because I believe that if I lay my life down for Jesus, other people will come into relationship with him and we'll see something change in this world. But our life communicates value. Is Jesus worth our entire life, even our comforts. There's this older song, and one of the lyrics has been just playing in my heart and mind as I prayed this week. The line is, "Take the world, but give me Jesus. Take the world, but give me Jesus." And you may have come in today and you're wrestling with an addiction. And the enemy has told you, this is what defines you. This will always have you. It may be alcohol, it may be drugs, it may be pornography, it may be money. I mean, human nature, we can get addicted about anything. And you think it's always going to own you, but today's the day for you to declare, take the world, but give me Jesus. Some of you may have walked in and you've gotten terrible news medically. And that's just weighing heavily on you. But you have a moment, in spite of that diagnosis, to say, take the world, but give me Jesus. You may have come in with deep sorrows or grief, and the enemy says, quit following Jesus. And your response is, take the world, but give me Jesus. What is your response to the cost of following Jesus? Is it take the world? Take the world, everything in it, but give me Jesus. As we close out, I want to ask that question. Is there a price you're not willing to pay to follow Jesus? Is there a price you're not willing to pay to follow Jesus? Because I believe we are called to be the light of the world. In spite of everything we face, it doesn't matter if we're a church in North Georgia. I don't buy that at all. We have an opportunity to impact the area we live in. 100%. I don't look around the world. I don't look at the enemy tells me to quit, give up. I look around and say, this is a great opportunity to be a light on a hill. This is a great opportunity. Today looks like a great day to be a light on a hill. And I want to encourage you. You may have an excuse to quit. But respond back to that situation and say, take the world, but give me Jesus. Man. I look around at this church and I'm full of hope. Look at this church and I'm full of hope. I see people. I've walked through some of it. I know what some of you guys are facing, and you've not given up. Do not come off that hill. I don't know how much time we got. This may be the last message I give to you. What an honor it would be to say with the last things, take the hill. Take the hill. Do not give up. Do not give up. Because I believe the Lord can work in and through us to change this world. I'm full of hope because of who Jesus is. And he said, take heart. I've overcome the world. Man, if we get back to a place where we're full of faith, and we say, I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what it's going to cost. But victory was never in doubt. Then you'll see person after person after person after person take the hill. Why do you think the enemy wants you to quit? What would it look like for all of us to take the hill and say, you'll have to drag my dead body off this thing? Because I refuse to give up. I believe the Lord wants to work in and through me, and my time is now. So Jesus, I ask for you to do something supernatural. I ask that you pour out your spirit, that you renew our minds. I ask that you pour out your spirit to give us a new fire in our souls. I pray for people right now in the name of Jesus who are going through great sorrows, great trials. The enemy who is telling them, quit, give up, it's not worth it. I pray for a supernatural power to fall upon them from the throne room of heaven that stirs us to believe that right now is our moment in history to refuse to get off the hill. That this is the moment where we step in and go, Jesus, I believe that you have created me in the image of God for the glory of God, to be a light on a hill, to be light to a dark world, for people to see there's still an opportunity to come into relationship with you, Jesus. I pray strength for the weary. Strength for the weary. Right now, if you feel like that's you, you're facing trials, you're facing sorrows, if things have been weighing heavily on you right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you, raise your hand right now. Raise your hand. I see that. I see that. Anybody else? Yes. Yes, I see you. I see you. Anybody else here? Yep, I see you guys in the back. Yes. Yes, I see you guys. Anybody else? Yep, I see you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray for these people who stepped out in faith and say, Jesus, taking the hill is not easy. I don't know if I've got the strength. I know right now what I'm facing is difficult. I don't know that I can get up on the hill. Jesus, I pray for supernatural strength from you, because we're not supposed to do this in our own strength. It's a faith in you, Jesus. So right now, Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you pour out your spirit. Give humanity something we don't possess without you, a faith, Lord, to say, I will take the hill. I lay my life down for Jesus. Pour out supernatural strength for the people in Hiwassee, for those in online right now, for those here. Pour out supernatural strength, a resolve that says, for whatever time the Lord gives me, I will take the hill. I will not back down. I will not give up. I will not go home. I say, Jesus, use my life for your honor and your glory. If you're on the prayer team in Hiwassee or here in the building, I ask you to go to the sides. I ask you to go to the sides right now, because as a church, I believe deeply we should be a place that is encouraging, that is there for one another, that spurs one another on toward love and good deeds. And you may just be feeling like, I don't know that I've got it. Let us pray with you. Don't do this on your own. We believe the Lord wants to work in and through you, and that we can come alongside of you and encourage you. Don't be afraid to step out and say, I just need some encouragement. Will somebody else pray with me? Taking the hill was never meant to be done solo. It's meant to be done with through the grace and love and power of the Lord and with each other. Taking the hill gets easier when you see somebody else do it with you. And so, Lord, I don't believe you've lost any power. And I pray that you reveal that today to hearts and minds. Stir something up in us, a faith in you, Jesus, that we're not scared to give our entire life to you. We're honored to. And I pray for someone right now, if you've come and you've never given your life to Jesus, and you've been on the fence, I rebuke the enemy who's trying to scare you right now. In the name of Jesus, give them strength and courage to step out and say, Jesus, I come to follow you. If that's you today, step over, have one of us pray to you and tell them, I'm giving my life to Jesus today. And let us encourage you, rally around you. Jesus, reveal your power and authority to take even broken lives and redeem them and rejuvenate them in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.